Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 145 of Nerd Pride Radio. 145? Ronster just sent me an article about a 145-year-old casket found in San Francisco that was apparently... There was supposed to be a cemetery there, or there was a cemetery there. Originally, the house was built over it, and then as the crews were excavating, they found this casket left over that apparently had not gotten moved with the rest of them. And the thing is only about 3.5 foot long, with windows in the top, so you can look inside and see the perfectly preserved body of a 3-year-old girl, still in her little white dress, blonde hair, etc., etc. Creepy. But, the upside of this, I mean, 145 years old, so it's not like there's someone terribly devastated about this right now, but there is an organization that does help figure out burials for forgotten or unnamed children, and they got together some money and got to move her appropriately somewhere else, and so now the body is taken care of. But wow, interesting. Imagine coming across that. Just weird. So thank you, Ronster. Appreciate that. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I'm actually pretty awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like 7 other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, it's Les Nessman. Welcome aboard, Les. And also, for this episode, a special thanks to my wife, because we're leaving for a camping trip tomorrow morning, bright and early, supposedly, and therefore, we got a lot of stuff to get done yet. There's always last-minute stuff when you're packing for a trip, and my wife said, well, you know what? I got all this. You go sit down and record. I'm like, seriously? She's like, yeah, seriously. Go record. So you guys can thank my wonderful wife, Lisa, for this wonderful episode, because otherwise I wasn't going to record this week at all. So this is great. Let's see. Meticulously plotted portion of the podcast? I guess so. Sure. Normally the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast is the time for me. I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. And if something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list. And then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. But really, on my master list, I don't have a whole lot, because it's, you know, as nice as she's being and as wonderful as this is, I don't have a whole lot of time here. I mean, you know, eventually I do have to get some stuff done. So let me talk about what I have been doing this week. And that is just a couple of quick things. Plays again this week. Theater stuff. My two youngest children, Eli and Noah, who you guys know, were in a play this week with the Norfolk Children's Theater, which was amazing. Norfolk Community Children's Community Theater. Anyway, Norfolk Children's Theater. And it was spectacular. It's one of these, I've talked up Missoula before, and this is very similar to Missoula in concept, in that they do auditions at the beginning of the week, and then through the course of, you know, 5 days, they put together everything, get their sets and their costumes and everything else. And, you know, by Saturday, they're performing a play. And the difference between this one and Missoula, as much as I love Missoula, is that this one was not so set in stone. Missoula has a very specific process, and it comes out very polished because they've been doing it for years. I mean, like I said, I don't want to talk bad about Missoula because I love their program. But this one is just very different in that instead of just going in for the parts of the day that involve your role, this was the kids were there all day, every day. And so the mornings would be workshops, theater classes, learning the process. They, like I say, they made their own sets. They put things together themselves. They experimented with the script. And so afternoons would be practicing, and rehearsing. And it was really cool because they got to add their own flair to stuff, and they got to figure out what jokes worked for them and what stuff worked for them. They did their own blocking. Like I say, they put the whole sets together themselves, and it was really cool. It was really cool. The Missoula ones are a little more prefab. I mean, the sets are already pre-made. The costumes are already pre-made. The scripts are set in stone. And so when you get there, it's just a matter of learning where you fit into that particular machine. And again, it's a great experience. But this was something completely different. And Eli came out of it saying, wow, that was so much cooler, because he was just so excited about getting to work on stuff. Both of them had a great time. And they put on a great play. It was, in fact, it was Little Red Robin Hood. And it's a fairy tale mashup sort of thing. And in it, Eli got to play the Pied Piper, which was a fairly big role. He got to play the love interest to Robin Hood. And, Noah was Hansel. And so he was, Hansel was actually one of the merry men. And so, he got to hang out with Robin Hood throughout the play. It was actually really cool. Of course, the flip side of all of that is, doing so much of the work themselves and having a much looser process also means that there's a lot more room for mistakes. And so during the performances, there were things that screwed up, and, you know, sometimes painfully and sometimes with hilarious results. And, during the first one, the first performance, they actually missed an entire scene. They like completely missed the scene, and they kind of had to, the narrators were desperately trying to find a way to work it back in. And so they brought it back later, and it actually worked out pretty well. But that was cute. And Noah, also first performance, as one of the merry men, every time they come on stage, they're in Sherwood Forest. So they're always bringing the forest out with them. So each of them carries a tree that they set up, when they get out on stage. And Noah's tree just fell apart, and he didn't even know it. So the tree is gone, and he's walking out, the tree falls on the floor, and he's just carrying a wooden stand, and he doesn't even realize he's done it until he sets the stand up, looks up and realizes, oh, something's wrong here. And so, I mean, it was just comedy. Him looking for the tree and then trying to get it to go back on the stand. And, ultimately they decided that they would just let it go for that performance. So every time that tree came out, whoever was hiding behind it was just hiding behind a wooden stand. And it was really cute. So it was very interesting and very different from Missoula, while being the same similar concept. It was super cool. And they had such a good time, and they were really good in it. So we were proud. But also, this week, and this is just to brag, my son and his lovely fiance, Jacob and Aaron, were in their community's community theater production of Little Shop of Horrors, which was stunning. Just absolutely stunning. I mean, we've seen some community theater before, but most of the stuff we see is the college plays and the high school plays and the Missoula plays for the kids and that kind of stuff. And this one, for being a community theater production, was just top notch. They actually had, 8 or 9 people, as their orchestra actually played the music live throughout the entire thing, which was amazing. It was wonderful. Aaron, my lovely daughter-in-law-to-be, Aaron was Audrey, who is the female lead, if you're not familiar with Little Shop of Horrors. And I knew she could act, and I knew she could sing. We've seen her in stuff before. But as well as she's sung in the past, she outdid even herself on this one. And it was just her accent, her acting, her voice, it was perfect. And it made it. It was really, really cool. When she sang Somewhere That's Green, now, the original Little Shop of Horrors, well, original, the movie, the 80s movie with Rick Moranis, Little Shop of Horrors, I remember it being fun and funny, and I enjoyed the crap out of it, and I've seen it many times, but I never had the emotional connection to it. I think I talked about this when I talked about the high school production of it. Never had the emotional connection to it, and the song Somewhere That's Green in the movie was my least favorite part of the movie. It was just painful and long, and I wasn't, again, no connection to it at all. And then, to make it worse, when they had, it was on Family Guy. Why am I drawing a blank on the son's name? Anyway, him and the pedophile sang Somewhere That's Green together, and it was just, again, it was funny the first time I saw them do it, but it's also, even then, as funny as it might have been, long and tedious. But, long way to get to this story, sorry about long and tedious, but watching her sing it this time, I was moved. I cried by the end of that song because it was really sweet. It was really touching. I loved watching this play. And now, Aaron, to me, was the shining light of this play, but my son Jacob was also in it, and Jacob was the narrator. He was a bum in the ensemble, and he also got to do all the plant puppeteering. So he was Audrey too, and got to do all that, which was super cool. And then his friend and former roommate Zach and Zach's brother Andrew were also in the play as Andrew was the lead, Seymour. And then Zach got to be the dentist. So I'm watching all these kids, well, not even kids anymore, watching all these people that I know in this huge cast with, I mean, just great production values. It was really awesome. It was a fun, fun time. And, I don't have any purpose to tell you all this except I'm just bragging because I'm so proud of them. It was really cool. Let's see. Having talked about all of that, is there anything else that I want to talk about in my meticulously plotted portion, which is clearly not so meticulous this week? No, you know what? I'm flipping through my master list here, and there is a bunch of stuff to talk about. I've got a really cool history bit. I've got a whole bunch of stuff that's, political and related to current events, because there's been a lot that's been going on. But none of it that I feel prepared for. None of it that I feel like I can devote the right amount of time to. So instead, I'm just going to go into doing some Podomatics for a little bit, and then, oh, hold on, my wife might have something. Oh, you guys, I almost got her on the microphone. I almost did. It was so close. Okay, so, I mean, she was walking over here, and then at the last minute, her stage fright got the better of her. But almost as good as having Lisa come on and explain this. I've got Noah here because it was his comment in the first place. He's in the kitchen helping her get packed up for the trip. So, Noah, what did you just ask your mom about this camping trip this weekend?
Is this going to be an Amish-y weekend?
An Amish-y weekend? What do you mean by Amish-y weekend?
Like no electronics.
Exactly. Yeah, is this going to be an Amish-y weekend? Yeah. Yeah, pretty much it is. So, and now he's gone. All right. Anyway, like I say, I'm not going to do a whole lot of stuff here. I think I am done with the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. And now I'm just going to go straight into the Podomatics because you guys have actually been really good about those. I mean, people have been sending in new ones. I just got a handful from Aaron, my future daughter-in-law, again. I just got a whole ton of them from Master, who I think this is the first time he's submitted Podomatics. He's done plenty of stuff on Listener Betrayal and provided other information for the intros and that kind of stuff. But I think this is the first time he sent Podomatics, so I'm really excited about that. So I've added them all to the list, and let's see what we come up with. It's time for the Podomatic! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic. At the end of every cast, I bring out art. Well, it's the middle of every cast. I need to change that. At the middle of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you guys come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I will add it to my master list. Add it to my Podomatic list. There you go. Oh, hold on. I've now completely screwed it up, and I've got a mental block. I can't even think of how I finish up. It was, oh, yeah, Nerd Podomatic, it's about whatever you want it to be. I can't believe I forgot that. I screwed myself up by saying master list, and I couldn't figure out where it was going. That actually, the format of the show now, you guys have I'm sure, all caught onto this, but opening is meticulously planned portion of the podcast where I talk about whatever I want to talk about. And then Podomatic is in the middle where you guys send me questions and topics and I roll them up. And at the very end, I always do listener betrayal where whoever the lucky people are who are actually paying attention while I'm recording, if they send me questions at that exact moment by Facebook or by my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, I will add it here and include it at the end of the cast. So that's my three-part podcast now. But my first number, 42. And 42 is... Hold on. I know I have it somewhere here. Hey, I found it. Oh, I'm so good at this game. It's almost like I've done it before. 42 is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, How do you feel about the Bean Guy clip art? Totally over it, right? Oh, dude, totally over it. Can I dude you? Is that okay? I was never a fan of the Bean Guy clip art in the beginning. And now, anytime he shows up, I hate to be one of those people that makes fun of fonts because, you know, to me, I'm not a font guy. I know a lot of fonts. I appreciate fonts, but it doesn't bother me when someone uses, Comic Sans. I don't give a crap. You can use whatever you want. But Bean Guy clip art, it's like, yeah, you know what? It just feels lazy. And it doesn't necessarily mean it is. You know, I mean, you still have to go in, you have to pick something that's appropriate to your theme, whatever. But Bean Guy clip art just feels lazy, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And if you guys can hear a bunch of noise in the background, again, people are getting packed up around me. And so, therefore, there's going to be some noise, and that's completely acceptable for me because it means I get to record while they're doing all of my work. You know how lazy I am. So, it's all cool. 51. 51 is from Zimney. And Zimney Pot says, your hometown is suddenly teleported for unknown reasons and now resides under a large glass dome on the moon. How would your life be different? Well, I'd live on the moon. What kind of question is that? My life on the moon would be different because, I would have an excuse to be fatter and lazier because I don't need all this, what little muscle tone I have. I don't need it for getting around on the moon. I mean, 1/6 gravity? I'm good with that. What would I weigh on the moon? I'd weigh, somewhere around, no, that's a little light, but somewhere around 44, 45 pounds. I mean, seriously? That's, come on. I could move that with nothing, right? I mean, you know, you're leaping 15 feet across the landscape. That's awesome. I love that stuff. My life would be different because, all right, did we just say my entire town? Yes, my entire town. So, my place of employment is still there, but all my bosses are back on Earth. So, that would be a little tough. The 2-minute lag in communication, closer to 4 or 5 minute lag in communication would be a pain in the ass. Knowing that eventually we would run out of supplies, would be pretty horrible. I mean, you know, Walmart's great until it runs out of stuff. I mean, this is essentially a post-apocalyptic scenario you've provided me with because, there's no way anyone's getting stuff up there to us soon enough. So, do we even still have groundwater or is that all gone? You know, I mean, we're in pretty bad shape. I'm assuming that would cut us off the electrical grid because we don't have a power plant in our town. We'd all be dead within a few days. I'm pretty sure that would be a bad situation. 52. Hey, we're already there. Let's try Zimney again. Zim says, Star Trek is about social commentary. So why are all Star Trek RPGs focused on action adventures? How do we fix this so that people can play Star Trek the right way? Well, first off, there's no right way to play. Whatever you're having fun with is entirely up to you. Second of all, Star Trek RPGs are about action adventures in the same way that the new Star Trek movies are all about action adventure. It's still the Star Trek universe, but it's not the same thing. And I agree. Look, it's about social commentary, but the problem is then you need to design social commentary. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you have to come up with stuff that challenges your viewer. That's what good sci-fi social commentary does. It challenges the viewer. It challenges your preconceptions. It makes commentary on the modern world. And Personally, I just don't think most casual gamers are that consistently clever. I mean, here's the thing. It also, the social commentary often requires that the plot play out in a specific way. And if it doesn't play out in that way, you don't get that necessarily get that same effect. You don't learn the same lesson because people can make their own choices in a role-playing game. And so therefore, it's going to feel preachy. It's going to feel like the game master or the module itself or whatever it is, the pre-designed adventure, is giving you a lecture every time you play a game because things have to happen in such a way that you learn a lesson. It's going to come across as preachy. I just don't think it would work in RPG. And not to say that there aren't role-playing games that don't have opportunities for internal exploration and moral lessons and moral exploration. I've seen those. I've heard about them. I've never played them, but I've heard about them and I've heard that they're amazing. So it's not like it can't happen, but it would be quite a chore. I mean, we're talking about Star Trek episodes that are written by teams of professional writers, and the best episodes, the ones you're thinking of, I mean, these were written by people who knew what they were doing. Do you have that kind of ability on a consistent basis, game after game, to come up with that kind of stuff? I don't think I do, you know? It would take a lot more work than I'd be willing to put in. I mean, it could be done. But again, as far as I'm concerned, Star Trek RPGs are pretty much the same as the new Abrams movies. So, you know, you use the world that everyone loves, and then you make an action-adventure out of it. I have no problem with that. 69, dude! R2, you seem fond of that number. It comes up a lot, doesn't it? Maybe it's just the way I remember things. Who knows? All right, 69 is from Lucy, who is L now. I need to change her name on here. And L says, is there such a thing as too large of a home television set? Noah, is it possible to have a TV for your living room that is too big?
Only if the machinery that requires to power up that said TV is more than half of your room, then it is too large.
So you think half the room is too large?
Yeah.
Now, okay, what if we had just, alright, see our TV there?
Yeah.
What if it was just a screen that filled that entire wall, but it was flat? The whole wall was just a giant screen. Would that be okay?
I guess.
Okay, as long as it's not, as long as it doesn't require a whole bunch of extra stuff that's pushing it out into the room, right?
Yes.
Okay. According to Noah, the screen size, no limit. As long as it fits in the room itself, screen size, okay. If all the surrounding accompaniment takes up too much of your space, yeah, he's saying if it takes more than half your room, you probably have too much television. If you could just get a giant flat screen, a big home theater, he's okay with that. Me personally, too large for a home TV? Look, I have a tough time justifying spending, you know, $6,000 or $10,000 on my TV and associated equipment. But, you know, if you have the money and the room for it, that's up to you. I would, you know, look, when I win the lottery, which, we've probably already won the lottery. I just haven't checked yet. But when I win the lottery, I'm definitely going to have a room in my house that has the giant screen, so I've got my own home theater. It won't be in my living room, but I will have a theater room, a TV watching room. So, you know, and would love to have that in there. So, oh, my wife just pointed out we can't win the lottery now. We blew our chances. Because, you know, you hope and you pray to win the lottery, but you have to be specific about exactly what you want to win, because last week we won a bench. So, there we go. We were done. And that. Well, yeah, no, it's a sweet bench. I'll give you that. I mean, it is a really solid, super heavy red wooden bench. And the back of it is made up of the tailgate of an old Ford pickup truck. And it is gorgeous. I mean, really cool. And we entered, a drawing for it at, the Children's History Day event, locally here, and then they had the drawing at the antique car show a couple weeks later, and we won. And when we bought the ticket, the kids talked us into it and said, hey, we gotta get tickets because Grandma and Grandpa would love this. If we win it, we can give it to them for Christmas. And so, We did win it, and so we got it out to their house, and we said, hey, Merry Christmas! So we got Christmas taken care of for Grandma and Grandpa. And like I say, it is a sweet bench. But again, when you pray to win the lottery, you have to be specific on exactly what lottery and what prize. Because also, see, same week, we did win the lottery, but it was just $4. So, God, I got to be more specific about that. Although, see, I feel like, and I've mentioned her before, a gal that used to work with us. She just recently retired, finally. And I don't say finally in a mean way. But she won the lottery. She won $1 million. She won $1 million on the lottery. And I feel like having done that, she drew all the luck out of my circle of friends that, like, you're not going to have two people in your circle of acquaintances who have won the lottery. So clearly, she's already taken it from us. That would be like in World According to Garp, when they're looking at a house, thinking about buying it, and a plane crashes into it. And he says, no, this is the perfect place, honey. It's already been pre-accidented. It's already been pre-disastered. Nothing else bad can happen now. Is like that in reverse. She took all the good luck with her. And the reason I said she finally retired, she won $1 million. Like, she's 2 years from retirement when she wins $1 million. 2 years from retirement, wins $1 million and continues to work for the 2 years because, well, that was in her plan. I'm like, what? How can you not? You're going to tell me that you're 2 years from retirement and $1 million does not change your plans in any way? How is that even possible? But again, she's one of my favorite people in the world because she is the world's most awesome pessimist. I love her for that. Because normally I don't like pessimistic people. I like happy, positive, upbeat people. And somehow she manages to be happy, positive, and upbeat while being a dismal pessimist all the time. I mean, I don't know what it is about her, but it's charming. It really is. And she would come in and, you know, we would give her crap about winning the lottery all the time. Because if you know someone who wins the lottery, you got to poke fun at them for it. I'm like, hey, what, you don't think you can take care of that with that $1 million you won? And she always goes on and on about how, well, but, you know, it moves us into a different tax bracket. And, you know, you don't actually get the full million and they hold back so much. And I'm like, okay, let me do a little bit of math here. I mean, yeah, you know what? After all of that extra horrifying expense that you're forced to endure, you still walk away, what, 600 grand ahead? And finally she had the grace to look a little bit bashful about that. And yeah, a little bit more than that. Like, okay, then you're going to tell me, what, 600 grand, 650 grand didn't make a difference to your retirement plans? And so, anyway, but she finally retired, and she's come by to visit a couple times. She's the one that called me on May 4th. She's already retired, and, you know, she's been out of there for a while, but she had to call me on May 4th just to go, May the 4th be with you, because she's cool like that. So anyway, kind of miss her. And are we done with that question? Did we already answer that? Wow, too much thing. Oh, okay, this all started with how big should your TV be? Yeah, I don't have any problem with a large TV. Again, I think a lot of people, I've been in a lot of homes where I feel like they have way too large a TV for their personal lifestyle and income, but it's not on me to judge. If that's where they want to put their money, then that's where they want to put their money. I mean, yeah, I got my own foibles, right? All right. All right, 69. You're not even trying now. You're trying to prove a point here, R2? 20. Let's go up to 20. And 20 is, oh, for anyone who listened to last week's episode, I'm really sorry about all the clicking and bumping that happened on that episode. I did not realize until after I listened back to it later that the laptop was resting on the edge of the microphone stand. So every time I did anything on the keyboard, anytime I tapped in anything, anytime I worked the mouse, you guys were getting a thump, 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 thump on your end, and I feel bad about that. All right, I don't know what number we're up to now. 5, 6, something like that. All right, number 20. This is from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, what is the latest you have ever had to work on Christmas Eve? I would bet that, I can't remember from when I was in college. I think when I was in college, I was waiting tables, and I don't remember, did we close early on Christmas Eve? I think we did. I can't remember for sure, though. But since I've started working, you know, professionally in my adult life working for the state here. I don't think I've ever worked past 4:30 on Christmas Eve. I mean, that's really, in general, we usually get a notice, that the governor's given permission, blah, 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 whatever it is. And so usually before a big holiday like Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that, usually we get a call, that day before lunch that says, oh, by the way, everyone gets to leave an hour early today, so enjoy your vacation. So usually I'm allowed to be out of there by 3:30 or 4. I would guess 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock is the latest I've worked on Christmas Eve, but that's rare. Okay. Sorry, Aiden just came home. Noah had a question for me, and so I paused, and now I've forgotten where I am. I think I just finished up the, yeah, working on Christmas Eve I finished up. So one more. 07, which, and because the tens roll with a 00, it's actually 007. And that makes it Mrs. Dark's. And Mrs. Dark says, so, for our annual C. elegans meeting, C. elegans is the worm that that she works on most in her lab, my lab, or exclusively? I have no idea. It's the only one I ever hear her talk about. My lab mates and I bring gummy worms to snack on during the annual C. elegans meeting. Cute. Because we think we're funny. Hey, I think you're funny too. What kind of snacks would you bring to an all-day meeting in your field? My answer is going to be really boring because we have annual all day meetings and usually there's a potluck. And so I've brought, Eli's favorite potato soup, which is spectacular, super cheesy, super easy to make. I love Eli's favorite potato soup. In fact, I won our soup contest at work with that one last year. That was pretty cool too. But I've brought Eli's favorite potato soup. I've brought, slow cooker bean recipe, which is, it's baked beans and bacon and hamburger, and it sits in the crock pot all day and it's just spectacular. I don't have anything good themed. I mean, we work in computers, so I don't know. Someone's gonna have to come up with a better, computer food pun than I can come up with. I mean, chips is, you know, an easy, obvious one, but man, I got nothing. All right. Sorry. Let's do one more. Let's do one more. I feel like I let you down on that one. Last one. Number 11. And number 11 is from Mrs. Darks again. All right. We'll close this out with her. And she says, what color ink is in your pen? Whoa. That was Noah coming back in the house. My pens are almost always black. I mean, let me look. Yeah, see, I'm looking here at my master list. Everything here is in black. That's usually what I carry, but, you know, if I have a blue pen, I don't care. And if I happen to have a green or red pen, I guess that works too. But the one that's in my pocket now is black, and most of the ones I use are black. Is that normal? I assume that's normal. I assume black is the most common color of pen, isn't it? I assume so. All right, yeah, one more. 75 is a long way down the list, but it's from Master. All right, dude. Master says, what is the best dice game? It has to be zombie dice, dude. Has to be. I've raved about zombie dice way too many times on this podcast to name anything else. Zombie dice is great. It is, again, it's super fast and super easy. You can play for 5 minutes and be done if that's the way you want to play it. You can play out longer games or series of games. And it is simple. Anyone can learn it, and it's a ton of fun. It's a good social game. It's one of those that there's always lots of drama, especially when someone decides to push their luck. Someone's taking a chance, and they get, you know, they're up to 7 or 8 points, and so they, boom, they lose it all. Everyone goes nuts. It's a good game. If you are interested in trying out a dice game, go buy Zombie Dice. It's not even that expensive, and it is a ton of fun. So, oh, Noah just kissed me. He's going to bed. Say goodnight, Noah.
Oh, I'm not going to bed.
Oh, then you're just kissing me because you love me?
What?
You're just kissing me because you love me?
Yeah.
Oh, what an awesome kid. All right, I like that. All right, you know what? We're done with the Podomatic. I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS. GLaDOS, recap this episode for me.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music, didn't use any this week. Let's see what else goes on here. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, honestly, just seriously recommend it to your friends. Pass it along to someone who you think would enjoy it. If you like it, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. If you want to do other things for my podcast, you can also go over to my Facebook page and click like on my Facebook page. Browse through the stuff that I've posted, etc., etc. Again, share it around with your friends. That's the biggest thing. Remember, I'm always looking for you guys to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for my Podomatic, which you've been doing. Wonderful. Watch every week on the forums on Facebook for listener betrayal, which you guys always do. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, if you want to give me a sponsor, a co-host, what Nerd Pride Radio smells like, which Ronster provided that one to this week as well. You guys can do that for me and save me all of that grueling thinking and research. Oh, it's so painful and time consuming. If you want to get in touch with me, Mike@NerdPrideRadio.com, @NerdPrideRadio on Twitter, Facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We'll hang out together. We will become. See, I paused because I believe somewhere earlier in the episode I said nerdprideradio.com/forums. I think I screwed up and I said the old address again. It's nerdprideradio.com/nerds. But I didn't catch it until later, and then suddenly I thought, God, did I say that right? Anyway, doesn't matter. You go over to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for listener betrayal. At the beginning of every podcast, hopefully, I go out to Facebook and to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I post up that I'm recording, and anything that you guys post there while I'm speaking, I include right here at the end of the podcast. So, starting off with my forums, let's see who's responded. Oh, I've got one response, and it is from Master. Master says, "So, I just watched Tarzan today." Oh, I'm sorry. "Visually, it was stunning, but I didn't like how preachy it was. I get it. Slavery's bad. Why can't we move on and talk about how awesome Tarzan is?" I don't know. I haven't seen Tarzan, so I don't know if I can speak to it at all. Well, obviously, I can't speak to it. But I have heard that it was just not a great movie. It certainly didn't perform well. I have no interest in seeing that thing. So, God, I'm sorry. There's so many better things. You should have gone and watched Ghostbusters. Why didn't you go see Ghostbusters? Which I also haven't seen, but Aiden saw it Thursday night at midnight, and he loved it. He said it was awesome and that me and my wife have to go see it. So we're going to, but first, you know, we have to go camping for 4 or 5 days. But then we'll go see it, I'm sure, because we have all that time, right? Okay. That is the end of my forums. So, let me post. Done. Got it. All right, now let's move on over to Facebook and see if anybody has bothered. I'm sure they have. You guys don't let me down, right? All right, so let's get on over there and see that. Hey, all right, I got 3 responses. And the first one is from Nelly. Nelly is always quick on the draw here. She must have it set up to notify her every time I post something up. So, thank you, Nelly. I appreciate it. She says, "Hi, have you seen Ghostbusters?" No, I haven't seen Ghostbusters, as I just mentioned. But she says, "It is so good." That's what Aiden says. And then she repeats, "It is so good." There's a lot of caps involved there and an exclamation point. "It made me cry to see women represented, equally to men. I think you would really enjoy it." Yeah, I absolutely would enjoy it. I've been looking forward to it. I was hoping and praying after all this back and forth over it and the idea that they're ruining our childhoods by putting women in these roles, or that they're only doing it for political correctness, or that whatever. And there's all this back and forth garbage about it. And a bunch of people who now are just, you know, just based on the previews, we're just convinced that it has to be a bad movie, that this movie is going to suck, it's going to be terrible. And, oh, no, not for any sexist or bigoted reasons. I'm just sure it's going to be terrible. Which they've talked themselves into it because they're sexist and bigoted in a lot of cases. Not everybody, but some of them. Even some of you who think you're not sexist, yeah, no, that's really what's going on there. And so, man, I was just praying that it would be good because after all of that controversy, what if it actually did suck? And then all of their stupid points are proven right, and not for the reasons that, because, you know, people make bad movies sometimes. But thank goodness, everyone seems to be liking it a lot, and I'm really happy about that. I can't wait to see it myself. So, and then it says, has your family been playing Pokemon Go? Tell me about it. Okay, I have not, because I'm not going to play Pokemon Go, because Pokemon was never my game. I've never played Pokemon. I've played a little Pokemon. I've certainly seen different versions of it. I understand Pokemon. My kids grew up on Pokemon. They lived and breathed Pokemon. We took Jacob when he was 6 years old, 7 years old. We drove all the way to Lincoln. We took a 2-hour drive to go to the discount movie theater where they still had Pokemon the movie, the first movie in the theater. And we watched it with him when he was just a little kid. And so I know Pokemon. And I have nothing against Pokemon. I think Pokemon Go sounds spectacular. I think this is a cool phenomena. But I'm not playing. Jacob is playing. And Jacob, I wish he's been so busy with Little Shop of Horrors this week. I wish I had had more time to talk to him because, he lives, 30 miles away from us in a little town. And in his town, he was basically the warlord of Wayne. He was among his friends. He was, by the way, Team Instinct. He's yellow team. And they dominated. They really kicked some ass. And he would sending me constant updates about, oh yeah, now he's the gym leader for this, and now he's the gym leader for this, and oh, he's got this organized, and he's got all these, all sorts of stuff, and he's super excited about it. And then the play came around, and people got word that, he had this little concentration of power there. And again, it's a small town, so it's not the same kind of numbers that you're gonna see somewhere else. And I don't know all the details, that's why I wish I had talked to him. But after the first night of the play, I mean, he's been all day in rehearsals and getting everything ready and putting on the first show. And then he gets done with the show and it went wonderfully. I mean, they were so excited because they really did well. I mean, we were there opening night and it was just perfectly done. And he has to come off of that high and then get to his Pokemon and go, oh God, while we were busy with the play all day, a bunch of out of towners came in, a bunch of Team Red and Team Valor. Is that Team Red? And, they kind of ganged up and pretty much wiped out everything he had, and he was just devastated. He's like, well, I knew it was going to happen sooner or later. It just, I guess I'll have to rebuild from here. So, but again, and I think he's recovered some, but again, I don't know the details. I should have him on the podcast, but he never has time. So, anyway, I think Pokemon Go is cool. I think the whole thing is great. Yes, I'm tired of seeing it in my Facebook feed, but there's lots of things I get tired of seeing in my Facebook feed. But you know what's more annoying than seeing Pokemon in your Facebook feed? Is seeing people complaining about it. All right? Yeah, you know what? I'm not playing, so I'm not as into all of the posts as everybody else, but I can appreciate them. I don't have any problem with them being there. I mean, this is just the latest thing, and, eventually people, it'll become part of the routine. But the people who are complaining about it, the people who are making fun of Pokemon Go players, I'm sorry, I understand why, but you know what? It's a hobby like any other, and it saddens me to see people make fun of it. It saddens me to see people who talk about, oh, I can't believe people wasting their time. I can't believe that. You know what? Shut up. You have no clue. You have no clue. We all waste time with our various, recreations, and I put waste in air quotes there that you couldn't see. We all have stuff that we invest our time in, and this is one. It is getting people out. And, I mean, just here in my neighborhood, I had to run over to the grocery store the other night, and on my way back at 10:30 at night, I saw one guy by himself, but I saw two couples out walking. One couple was out walking their baby, while playing Pokemon Go. Our park was full of maybe 9 or 10 people in the little park by our house, all out hunting Pokemon in the middle of the night. And so they're, it's not just getting people out and getting people walking and moving, but most of the people I see aren't doing it alone. Most of them are out in pairs or groups, and it's a social activity, and I have no problem with that. I think this is really cool. And again, it's the latest thing, and it's huge. It's absolutely huge. It's overwhelmingly huge. This is a phenomenon that people will talk about forever. But, you know, it has its time, and then eventually what will happen is, Yancy and I were just talking about this, what's going to really change things is when they can come up with an augmented reality-style game in the vein of Pokemon Go, but something that appeals to the Facebook masses, the way Farmville did, the way Candy Crush did, that, I mean, everyone played Farmville and got so addicted to it. Everyone plays Candy Crush and is addicted to it. Well, but now they've got Pokemon. Eventually we'll get an augmented reality game that isn't Pokemon. We'll get an augmented reality game that gets people hooked the same way Farmville did, but has them out moving and socializing and having to do things outside their home in order to gain the points that they need or whatever it is. And I don't know what that game's going to be, but when it comes around, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be, and I don't necessarily mean it's going to be great, because, I mean, there's good and bad to a lot of things, but it will be a phenomenon, is what it will be. It's going to be amazing. So, anyway, that is Nelly. And then Master, replies to her and says, I should have read this before I posted. Oh, well, we can just make fun of him while he talks about the same thing twice. Oh, man. All right, cool. The next one is from my future daughter-in-law, Erin. And Erin says, hi again. Because music is in the air lately, I was curious as to what your favorite musical is and why. All right, my favorite musical. That's hard to say. I saw, Wicked is, we saw that in Chicago, in its home theater in Chicago, I know that's not the original theater, but it's in the Chicago theater where, you know, it was a permanent installation there for a while. And it was amazing. Loved Wicked. Chicago, man, I'm a sucker for that. I am a huge fan of the musical Chicago. I think that thing is great. I've always liked Little Shop of Horrors, but now having seen it in person, oh man, I'm in love with it. I'm really in love. I just bought the entire soundtrack. I can't wait to just start putting that thing on repeat. I can't wait. What other ones, am I a fan of? Oh, I've always been a fan of Rocky Horror. I mean, Rocky Horror is probably the first musical that I really fell in love with. So, you know, always like that. And in movie form, at least, I really, really liked, Moulin Rouge. Moulin Rouge. I really liked the movie version of that. I've never seen the musical performed, but I just, and I've only seen it once, but I remember just loving every moment of it, despite all the criticism around it and other stuff. I just thought it was spectacular. But of all of those, I would guess that right now, Chicago is probably my favorite. Don't know what it is about it. I just really, really like that. But that's hard to say favorite, because there's so many musicals that I really enjoy, which I'm surprised at. So there you go. Let's see. Okay, from Master again. Master says, yes, we met again. Played Pokemon Go Ask today. What say you about it? Played it? If not, how did you spend this wonderful day? Yeah, not played Pokemon Go, but how did I spend this wonderful day? Mostly, let's see, got up, went out to do chores and fed the calves, and the dogs and the other stuff, but mostly dealing with the calves, which, by the way, I have hurt my hand, because I punched a calf in the head. Does that make me a bad person? All right. And if it makes you feel any better, the calf was not fazed by this at all, but I bruised my knuckle very seriously, and I'm still in pain right now. But in my defense, this was an annoying little cow, all right? I'm trying to get over the fence to get into his pen because I've got to check the water and got to refill his grain and I've got to get him some milk. And he's so desperate for me to come feed him that he won't let me get in the pen. All right. As in, I'm crawling over the fence and whenever I try and put my foot down, he puts his head under my foot. So I have to stand on him. Like literally I could have just used his head for leverage to get into the thing. I couldn't get him to move. And every time once I finally got into the pen and I'm trying to walk to where I need to go, he won't stop poking me and bumping into me and trying to trip me. I mean, he got his head, literally, he ducks down, gets his head up between my legs and starts lifting up. I'm a 270-pound man and he's flipping me over because he's so excited that I might have some food. I had a bucket of grain. I'm like trying to get it to him and he won't stop. And so finally, as I'm trying to get back out and he keeps nosing me and he won't let me get out because I'm pushing him away and he keeps coming back and I push him away. So finally I reach down, I thump him on the top of his head, with my fist and I wind up just hurting myself really bad. So, learned my lesson. Don't pick on cows. But anyway, I fed cows this morning and then we did some packing, and some laundry and then, oh yeah, we had to go see the kids in the play. And then we got some dinner, and then we went and saw the kids in the play again. And now I've been packing, and I had to go out and feed the cows again. So not as exciting as playing Pokemon Go all day, but, you know, it wasn't a bad day, I guess. So anyway, that is the end of this podcast. I appreciate you guys coming to hang out with me. Sorry I didn't put more thought into the meticulously plotted portion, but, you know, busy. I'm just glad that my wife was willing to cover for me and give me the time to do this. So, thank you so much for showing up, you guys. You guys have been wonderful to me. Thank you for all the feedback, all the support, all the Podomatic entries and other information you've been sending my way to save me all of this grueling research. You guys are awesome. I love you. I will see you next week. Have a great time.